And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. David Janes here with you on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road is live down in Orlando, Florida in preparation for the first round of the NCAA tournament. Tennessee getting things kicked off down there tomorrow, late tomorrow night, 8:40 here locally, 9:40 Eastern time, which Joe Rex Road has very much been anticipating all week long. Joe, how is sunny Orlando, Florida, as we sit here today from 28-degree Nashville, Tennessee?
It's good, other than, like, you on the Zoom is totally going Max Headroom on me. It's freaking me out.
Yeah, I don't know what to do about it.
I mean, it's kind of funny. I got an espresso machine here, so here's a triple shot. This is, I mean, it's not a big coffee, but there's a triple shot of espresso in there. Then this is just a regular coffee, kind of like, you know. And also, shout out to the Hairy Buffalo. The Hairy Buffalo sports bar down here, downtown Orlando, you know, got the Vanderbilt Yale tilt on a nice big TV for us last night. So there you go. Things are going great. It's a lot warmer down here.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Yeah. David Janes, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. You know, just out here living my best life.
Living your best life is good. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Obviously, another active day in NFL free agency yesterday with the Tennessee Titans. We're going to get heavily into that throughout the show here today. Lots of San Francisco flair to it, Joe. I'll just say lots of 49er flair to it with the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes. Obviously, the NCAA tournament, I guess officially, is underway. We'll get into the meat of it with Tennessee coming up a little bit later in the show as well. But, Joe, we begin with the Nashville Predators, who win yet again last night. 2-1 the final score at Bridgestone Arena. They take down the Detroit Red Wings. The Winnipeg Jets lose last night to Carolina. And all of a sudden, the Predators find themselves 4 points back of a playoff spot with 3 games in hand. And, oh, by the way, they play the Winnipeg Jets on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. So I believe, if my reading skills are correct from Twitter last night, that Winnipeg just played Carolina last night. They'll go on the road and they'll take on Boston on Thursday, which, as we know, is very challenging so far this year, and then into Nashville on Saturday. So Boston Thursday, Nashville Saturday. Meanwhile, the Predators have a date with the Blackhawks coming up on Thursday night. So, Joe, there is a chance that the Predators could be in a playoff spot come Saturday night based on the way that things have gone lately. If Boston takes care of Winnipeg and if the Predators can take down the Jets on Saturday, of course, the Preds also have to take down the Blackhawks as well. But the Preds, they keep winning, and all of a sudden, 4 points back of a playoff spot.
Yeah, I think I saw, you know, someone gave and tell me who it was, because it's 6:04 a.m. Someone gave the chip on the shoulder quote.
Yeah, it was. I think it was Sherwood, Kiefer Sherwood.
Kiefer Sherwood, there you go, Kiefer Sherwood. So, you know, and hey, man, it's funny because I actually could sort of draw a little. This is what the Vols need to look at and do, right? I mean, you know, this team is basically, people are like, hey, you know, let's just watch young guys. No pressure, right? I mean, there's no pressure. There was massive pressure on this team, and there's now no pressure on this team. And of course, there's also less talent on this team, but I mean, we're seeing they've got some young guys who can play, and it seems like there's this just sort of reformed chemistry that's good. I mean, again, they've still sort of, this has still been the softer part of the schedule, and you've pointed that out before. So, you know, it's going to get more challenging, but all of a sudden you're talking about a big game. And I honestly didn't really think we'd be talking about big games once we got into like mid to late March with this team.
No, me either. And look, they're still not scoring a ton of goals. I mean, that's the thing we've talked about, right? I mean, they're scoring 2 a game, 3 a game, somewhere in that neighborhood, but yet they continue to find ways to win. And Joe, what is quickly turning into the story of this run here is Tommy Novak, and he scores again last night. Shout out to Tommy Novak for the Preds pick to click point. Thank you very much. Appreciate that very much. And he's got 28 points in 34 games with the big club this year. So 13 goals, 15 assists, and he's got 20 points in his last 19 games. So for almost a 20-game sample size, he has been over a point per game player for the Nashville Predators. And I did not have that one on the list this year, that Tommy Novak would come in and make the impact that he has. But the guy's on fire right now, and he had a nice redirection goal like right underneath the bar last night. I mean, he's playing really, really well, and I did not expect them to get this type of production out of Tommy Novak when they recalled him.
So is this, you know, kind of a charmed year, guy on a heater, or is it, you know, and then it's going to, you know, come back to earth type thing?
Yeah.
Or is this, do you think, maybe a hint of things to come that he could really be, you know, a significant piece down the line?
It's a great question because, I mean, look, you look at him and it's not like he's Luke Evangelista or some of these other guys. Like Novak's 25, right? So he's still young, but he's not that young. Like he's put in some time, and he's been around for a while in terms of his journey to get to this point. Now, you know, he spent a lot of time in the AHL. He played with the Wolves a few years ago. I mean, he played 60 games with Milwaukee back in the 1920 season. So he's been around a minute, and now is starting to figure things out at the NHL level. Now, the amazing thing is, he's never really been all that productive. Like, in 1920 in Milwaukee, he had 11 goals. Last year in Milwaukee, he had, 7 goals. So far in Milwaukee this year, he had 11 goals in 25 games. Now, this year, all of a sudden, it's just taken off for him offensively. So, I don't know that I'm willing yet to say that he's going to be like some bona fide top six forward as they move ahead here, but he certainly had top six production so far this year with the Predators.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the thing. People are a lot more excited to see some of these other guys that, you know, I mean, when we've talked about, you know, what could the core look like? How many of these guys could be part of the core? Where would they all fit? He's kind of been an afterthought, you know?
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, I do think you need to have some caution because this does happen sometimes. Maybe the ceiling isn't really that high, but you're close to it, and you have a really good year. I mean, I don't think it's a perfect example, but you know, Tanner Jeannot last year to this year, you know, I mean, last year was maybe you're going to end up being a little bit of an outlier for him. Maybe not, but probably, right?
Probably.
I mean, last year's probably going to be a little bit of an offensive outlier for Tanner Jeannot, and at the time it was like, I mean, hey, I don't know. What does this mean? Like, what's the trajectory? But look, man, you can't have too many. And 25 is still young, you know, young players who could fit in somewhere and have, you know, some level of skill to help you out. I mean, it feels like somewhere in whatever they look like down the road, he can be a part of that and help them.
Chuck on the text line says, I'm torn on this Preds run. The wins are exciting, and the young players are doing well, but I'd rather have been in the lottery for Bedard. This from Chuck on the text line. I've seen some of that, too.
Bleep the bed, Chuck. I'm with you, buddy. What are you going to tell these guys? What are you going to tell them? You know, I mean, you're going to tell them to lose? And plus, I mean, for all the people who did pay for season tickets, you know, who maybe have been wondering, you know, they're going to be going to games. And again, I think some people are like, yeah, you know, let's watch the young kids. Well, yeah, how about a playoff run? I mean, amid all this stuff. I mean, look, if they're going to drift this way, then you may as well go do it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of like at some point you have to fork in the road to even have, like, how far are they from being 11th right now?
Right.
You know, I'm asking you to do like math on the fly, but like they're certainly closer to a playoff spot.
Correct.
Right? Like,
yes.
Yeah. Like quite a bit closer.
Well, you're talking about getting to 11 just to give yourself a tiny fraction of a chance at that point.
Yes. But I mean, again, I just love those lottery days when they, you know, you just never know what might happen.
That's true. You never know what's going to happen there. Now, look, I think the Winnipeg game Saturday is going to be a big one. Like, even if the Predators drop one to Chicago and Winnipeg somehow beats Boston on the road, like, it's still going to be a big game coming up on Saturday. I think the odds would say that the Predators will probably be 2 points back of Winnipeg on Saturday as the Jets come in here, just based on the opponent for the Predators coming up and based on who the Jets are going on the road and trying to play. Now, having said that, I'm looking at Money Puck, and their playoff odds are still at 22%. So that tells me that, number one, they're still factoring in the schedule pretty hard. Like, the schedule after this week is getting ready to turn around pretty quick on the Predators, and it's going to be much tougher coming down the stretch. And I would venture to guess that the two goals and sometimes even the three goals that the Predators have managed to muster up offensively on a more consistent basis, you're going to have to score a little bit more if you're going to win coming down the stretch. But to their credit, I did not think after they sold off all the pieces at the deadline that they would be really anywhere close to us talking about this at this time of the year. Now, again, the schedule is about to get a lot more difficult. I'm still not convinced that the Predators are all that good as currently constructed. But they're winning games. And, you know, like we said, sometimes that mentality shift in sports, for whatever reason, it lights a fire under a group and they're able to ride that thing out. And, you know, these young guys, to their credit, the Tomasinos, the Evangelistas, who he was back in there last night. I thought he looked really good once again. Novak, obviously, who we've talked about. These young guys have come in there and they are not playing scared by any means. And I think that that has been very encouraging to see on that front.
Yeah. You know what? They've got some moxie, you know? They got some moxie, and who knows what that means down the road, but it's what you want to see. Because, you know, I mean, the Preds have kind of gone from, it's like, I mean, I think that they were a little bit soft, and then they went to this, let's be hard to play against, and you know, they kind of went that way with John Hines, and I feel like there's like a happy medium, like, you know, skill and brawn, that you need to have. You have to have both, of course, but attitude is a part of it too, you know? And I do think you see some of that with these young guys. And, you know, shoot, I mean, at some point, if Askarov is the goaltender, I mean, he might be, you know, like their enforcer as a goaltender, know, down the road. So it seems like there's some guys with some edge. Now, maybe, you know, Zach LaRue, maybe a little bit too much at times, you know, so, but you need some of that, I think, to, you know, to give you, well, an edge.
I totally agree. 615-737-1025. We're off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we're going to get into the Titans and NFL free agency. Some moves made again yesterday by Rand Carthon and the Titans with a little bit of a San Francisco flair to it. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. David James here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Another busy day for the Tennessee Titans yesterday, Joe Rex Road. We discussed Andre Dillard and the signing yesterday at left tackle, Luke Gifford coming in at linebacker, and then yesterday more moves made by Rand Carthon and the Titans, the headliner of which happened late last night, Arden Key signed by the Tennessee Titans at the outside linebacker spot, formerly of the Jacksonville Jaguars from last year. We saw most recently Arden Key bulldozing through Dennis Daly in the final game of the regular season for the Jacksonville Jags. That highlight was shown all over the place last night that I saw, so that was interesting to revisit. But a three-year, $21 million deal for Arden Key to address the outside linebacker spot last night as well. Daniel Brunskill of the 49ers addressing the guard position for the Titans yesterday. And then at linebacker again, Azeez Al-Shaair, which I believe is the correct pronunciation based on my reading here, Joe Rex Road, and my ability to piece things together, is the other move that the Titans made yesterday. All three of those guys were the Rand Carthon connection, two of them coming directly from the 49ers, and Arden Key, formerly of the 49ers as well. So Rand Carthon, very familiar with the three signings that the Titans made yesterday, outside of the Luke Gifford signing that we talked about yesterday morning. What do you make of the moves that the Titans made yesterday in free agency, addressing outside linebacker, middle linebacker, and then, of course, the offensive line as well?
Yeah, things have changed since we talked yesterday, haven't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like them, you know, and I know It's how much have we made fun of, like, the Falcons taking all the Titans, and before that it's like Vrabel taking all the Texans, and now we got Rand Carthon taking all the Niners. But hey, you're around someone on a daily basis, and you have a pretty good idea of both the player and the person. So first of all, I think what this tells us is, I mean, look, we know that Rand Carthon is the GM, but I mean, this obviously feels like Rand Carthon here is out here, kind of running the show, right? Like, I mean, of course, Vrabel, I think, is going to be involved in all of these things, but Vrabel was involved before. But this is Rand Carthon saying, like, I know this guy, I know this guy, and kind of dictating that, that some of these guys will come here, with the Niners connections. First of all, Els Jair, everybody thought, talking to like our Niners writers at The Athletic, they were sure he was going with D'Amico Ryans. He was just, it was one of those situations where, he's the third linebacker because they have two really good ones in Warner and Greenlaw. And those guys are studs, but they're on, those guys have both gotten paid. Now, he started all of 21 and was really good. It was just kind of like, it's great to have this third linebacker. They knew that this year he was going to go out and be a starter somewhere. So everybody thought D'Amico Ryans, his D coordinator, is going to take him to Houston, but Rand got him. And I mean, Brunskill, TD had this tweet last night. I mean, I don't know about you. I'm not super brushed up on offensive guard play and random teams around the league,
I
but
watched a
according
lot of
to TD,
Brunskill.
you have you?
No.
TD, the next gen says 492 offensive snaps. This is a TD tweet. No sacks or pressures.
Pretty good.
He started 17 games in 21. You're talking about, I think, probably your Nate Davis replacement. So now you got, I think, David Long replacement, Al Shire. You got Nate Davis replacement, Brunskill. And then, like you said, I mean, Arden Key is good. Arden Key's good. And that's that we've wondered about that. That's kind of, I mean, I guess you could look at that as kind of the DeMarcus Walker replacement, but I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see exactly how they deploy him, but kind of also, I mean, Bud Dupree replacement. Sorry, but regardless, it's a guy who can rush the passer. And yes, that highlight of Arden Key just absolutely, I mean, first of all, that was, I probably watched that 20 times that night. I was like, well, there's Dennis Daly. But now you look at it as like, wow, Arden Key, pretty good. I mean, it depends on how you look at that one, I guess.
Well, I a couple of things to me stand out about Arden Key. Number one, last 2 years, 17 games played. So he's been available in every game the last couple of years, which, as we know for the Titans, that's saying something if you can be available in every game the last couple of years. Now, hopefully that doesn't change this year, but you're talking 6.5 sacks a couple of years ago in San Francisco, hence the Rand Carthon connection. And then last year with Jacksonville, he only had 4.5 sacks, but he had 15 quarterback hits. If you ask people that watched him play, if you go look at some of the numbers, he was good. He was all over the quarterback. And I think a lot of people feel like at age 26, Joe, that he's an ascending player, and maybe the Titans are getting him on the way up. Now, does that mean that he's going to become, some double-digit sack guy? I don't know. I mean, I have no idea if that's going to be in the cards for him or not. But I think the last couple of years, pretty impressive stuff from Arden Key. And I'm interested, like, is that their strategy to replace Bud Dupree? Is there going to be another move made there via free agency or the draft that goes along with this one with Arden Key? But, look, I think he's really good. And I think this is a good move for the Titans.
Yeah, look. It's, with Bud Dupree, we've talked about, okay, not certainly not living up to the contract, not great numbers, but when he was out there in the last couple of years, especially 2 years ago, how did it look with him, with Landry, with Autry? I mean, and again, with those guys, with those four guys, Simmons, the Chiefs game from 21, I remember like going through that and like trying to figure out all the different ways that they line those guys up, and they had them all over the place. They put Simmons outside sometimes. They'd bring Landry inside. They'd move them all around. Can Arden Key be sort of this the Dupree role in that? If you think about four guys, you know, who are really pushing the pocket and coming after the quarterback. Again, Landry off the ACL, so you got to have a little, you maybe temper the expectations a little bit, especially early. You got to be careful and all that stuff. But if he is pre-injury Landry and Key can kind of do that, you may be talking about a guy who can do that, but also, like you said, be on the field more often and just be that fourth guy with those other guys. And then I think, like Weaver, I mean, I think the picture is becoming clear and it makes sense. And that, there's a lot less, they're addressing some things without, spending a ton of money. Again, if these end up being like Brunskill, Key, Alshier, I mean, I think they're all gonna have significant roles. And I have not seen Brunskill numbers yet. Have you?
I have not, but I can see if that's been put out there somewhere.
Yeah, but at this point, it's and I think Alshier, I haven't seen those either. Again, when you don't see them, remember, agents typically deliver this stuff, and when you don't see them, usually the agent isn't like all like wanting everybody to see it. I think it's probably a little bit cheaper than David Long, and he played on 3.9 million last year, 1 year deal with the Niners, as a third linebacker. So, but not spending a ton of money, but getting young players who and look who the GM knows well.
Gunner on the text line says, Harold Landry on one side, Arden Key on the other. Sheesh, you shouldn't miss Bud at all. This is from Gunner on the text line. A big move made by the Titans yesterday to bring in Arden Key. We'll continue the discussion on some free agent signings the Titans have had and some news on a restricted free agent for the Tennessee Titans as well that has just come out. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You can play hooky and join 102.5, The Game at Jasper's, located at 1918 West End Avenue, tomorrow for the first day of tournament games. While you're there, take advantage of the Shot in a Beer special. That's a shot of Nelson's Greenbrier Tennessee Whiskey, plus a bottled domestic beer for just $10. Jasper's, they've got an oversized bar, TVs, and a game room that make them the place to be to catch all the games. Make sure you check that out starting tomorrow as the tournament begins. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, discussing the Titans and the free agent signings that they've made over the past couple of days. Now, Joe, some news on the Titans front. This coming from Jonathan Jones from CBS. The Titans are placing a second-round tender on restricted free agent defensive tackle Tyrann Tartt. So we talked a lot about Tyrann Tartt yesterday and how important it'll be to get him back. A second-round tender being placed. Friend of the show, Mike Herndon, is kind of going through this right now on Twitter. Says, effectively a one-year, $4.3 million deal. Tyrann Tartt can seek a better option elsewhere if he so chooses. And if another team decides to sign him, Titans have a chance to match that offer if they want to, or we'll take a second-round pick in exchange for that. So, Joe, my guess is that as much as people like Tyrann Tartt and that he could probably fetch an offer somewhere else out there, the second-round pick most of the time is enough to dissuade teams from trying to do that. So it looks like Tyrann Tartt's going to be back, and I wonder, does he play on kind of the one-year placeholder deal, or are the Titans working on something a little bit longer term with Tyrann Tartt? But the second-round tender placed on Tyrann Tartt, nonetheless, according to Jonathan Jones.
Yeah, so you got the three levels. Well, I guess you have four levels, but, there's the first-round tender's about six. Like you said, second round, 4-3. I think it makes sense. I think that's worth it. Absolutely. Tyrann Tartt on this defense. Yeah, you start to see where this defense. Again, if these pieces come together well, and some of it is if some of these guys who have been hurt who are still returning can stay healthy next year, it'd be pretty salty. Tyrann Tartt's an important part of that. So you get 6 million first round tender, 4-3 for a second. First right of refusal is 2-6, and then no tender at all, which, by the way, according to Terry McCormick, will be the situation with NWI. Now, for people to – now, I know, let me pour one out. Hold on.
It's a big day for you.
Let me pour one out. Well, I guess into my gullet because I need the caffeine. But remember that even if you don't tender someone – that doesn't necessarily, mean that they will, that you won't try to re-sign them. Basically, it's just that, they're now a UFA. So, I mean, with NWI, I wouldn't necessarily, I didn't see what, all I saw was Terry's tweet about they're not tendering him. That doesn't necessarily mean NWI is done in Nashville. Do not fret, Nashville sports fans, okay? It's not over yet necessarily.
That dream of NWI on one side and Racing McMath on the other still lives in Joe Rexroad's plan as the Titans move forward here. Or could NWI be on the list that Aaron Rodgers has thrown out there to the Jets? Maybe they're going to get him. Who knows?
Well, if I'm sure he watched it. He was sitting there on that sideline watching him block his butt off
I
on
bet he
that
was.
the last time the Titans won a game.
I bet he was. So, a lot of people yesterday, Joe, as you know, on the program here, freaking out about the lack of moves that the Titans had made. Did that signal a rebuild? Were the Titans going down the rebuild rabbit hole? Was that going to be the strategy for Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel? And since then, they've made moves at outside linebacker, inside linebacker, offensive line, and I think have made some pretty good financial decisions in that standpoint, too. Now, the David Long Jr. contract, we could still discuss, but I do like the replacement that they've brought over at the linebacker position now, in Azeez Al-Shaair. So, I mean, I really like what the Titans have done to this point. I think there's some flexibility with the number 11 overall pick when you bring in Andre Dillard, and now you've addressed another position on the offensive line. I be honest with you, I kind of like what the Titans have done so far, is this early into free agency with things officially kicking off today, which is still very funny to me.
Yeah, exactly. Now that it's over, it starts. Yay. No, I'm with you, man. Look, I think it's, again, people are going to be like, oh, gee, how many, just bring in all the former Niners, right? But there's something to be said for, first of all, what the Niners are as a football team. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Al-Shaair is another great example of, not only is he a guy who obviously Rand Carthon knows well, but he's another one of those undrafted free agents they found, a few years ago, who turns out to be a really good football player for them. They absolutely cleaned up late round and undrafted over the years. I mean, it makes such a difference to have like a guy on a contract like that, who's your third linebacker, but then someone gets hurt, because they always do, and you have a good starter there. I'm with you. I don't. They've. It's been. To me, it's like young and ideally, healthy. Now, that is the one thing with Al-Shaair. He had a knee last year. He had an ACL in college. He had a UCL in college too. TD was tweeting about this, how he was like playing with a torn UCL and stuff. So obviously a tough guy, but that he does have injury history, so I mean that's something to keep in mind. But I'm with you. I mean, I think you can see one. You can start to see offensive line form now. Brunskill, it seems like Petit Frere, Brunskill. I think Dillard. So you maybe, and then again, it could be Brewer at center. It's possible that four of your five starters now are set.
Could be.
Possible. Now, it's possible they aren't. It's possible that Dillard's better inside. We don't know. I still don't buy this idea of Dillard as a with that investment as the swing tackle. But it's pretty good. And with Brunskill, I know Barrows, Matt Barrows, our guy who covers the Niners, said coaches said he's one of the smartest players on their team. Plays can play all five spots, and he also, by the way, is was their backup center and played some center too. So one of those guys. It's like they had good depth on that football team, and now Carthon is picking some of that depth off to be starters at his new spot.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Joe,
What's up, Mark?
Robbie.
Hey,
how y'all doing?
Good.
Seems like Titans made some good moves, man. They got a little younger on defense with Key and Shazier, the guy you were talking about from Niners and Jaguars, respectively, and got the offensive lineman Dillard from the Eagles, and they still need to address wide receiver and cornerback. Maybe they'll get to that through free agency or maybe through the draft or whatever, whatnot. Joe, you know why I called you today. No, I had that little pep talk, which I'm not in Nashville. I'm over here in Kansas City. I had to come out here and work at the terminal out here this week. So I ain't going to get to listen to you today, but I hope you win and stuff and do what you got to do, Joe. Just get your focus back. But, Joe, you really got to let Taylor Lewan go. You was going to mention him last week. You almost slipped up and let it come out, man. You got to let Taylor Lewan go, man. He's kind of a downer, man. He kind of gives you a little bad look when you kind of mention his name and stuff. But I hope you do well and stuff today, man, and get your victory. We didn't bet at all this week because I'm out of town. So, but I just wanted to call and give you that little pep talk. You know I'm gonna address it with you every Wednesday.
Hey, but, I appreciate
you
that.
And Robbie,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you and Robbie, y'all have a good day and stuff, man. I'll see y'all when I get back to Nashville.
Mark, have a great time in Kansas City. Right, thanks buddy. For calling in.
All right, see y'all, Robbie.
The legendary Mark in Nashville on the program this morning. Nice pep talk from a different state, Mark calling in and giving Rex Road a pep talk. I'm all about it.
You know, if I win tonight, I hope Mark treats himself to some celebration barbecue in Kansas City. Great barbecue too. City. So, burnt ends on me, Mark, if I win tonight, all right?
Yep, no question
put
about it.
Put it on my tab.
That's right. Alex from Montreal on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, all that's missing on D right now is some size with the cornerbacks. Good job so far by Ran. This is from Alex on the text line. What do you make of, the 49er connection? I mean, we've talked about this, right? I mean, forever there were a bunch of guys coming over from Houston that Vrabel was familiar with. We talked about the three guys they signed yesterday all have a connection to the San Francisco 49ers and Rand Carthon. What do you make of that, and what does that tell you about, you know, we always talk about who has final decision, who has roster decisions, all these other things. What does that connection tell you about the job that Rand Carthon has done so far in terms of his influence bringing these guys in?
Yeah, well, certainly I think this tells you. I mean, Rand Carthon – is making calls, you know, on guys like, again, it seems to me, you know, first of all, Vrabel and John Robinson discussed every single player coming and going, right? Of course. I mean, any GM and coach do, but this is pretty obvious. Rand Carthon's the GM, and all of a sudden a bunch of guys that he knows, that he can vouch for, are in, you know? So that's, it kind of tells you, Rand Carthon's doing work here, you know? And it's not like, Vrabel's like, hold on, I got a guy from the Texans now that I think is a little better than your guy from the Niners, Rand. Come on now, buddy. And look.
Texans just flowing with talent down there.
Yeah. But it's, I think it's a good thing when you're also obviously always thinking about the locker room and how guys are going to fit together that way. And so when you can acquire players who you were with for several years, you have a good feel for everything about them, right? So you got to think that these are choices that are also going to be, you know, good additions to the chemistry.
We'll continue the conversation on NFL free agency and the Titans coming up next. Take more of your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This March, which is now, take a shot at college hoops with a no-sweat bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. Right now, all customers can tip off the tourney with a no-sweat bet. All you have to do is sign into your FanDuel Sportsbook account to claim yours today. Or if you're new to FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com/Rob to get in on the action. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to that 5-12 seed matchup that you've been eyeing as well. I am high on Marquette. I got Marquette winning the whole thing. Alabama obviously playing really well right now too as the number one overall seed. But you can take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel Sportsbook, all in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. There's no better place to bet the tournament than FanDuel Sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/Rob to join now or sign into your FanDuel Sportsbook account to claim your no sweat bet today. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. A max bonus bet of $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see Breaking Benjamin coming up at First Bank Amphitheater on May the 3rd. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, caller number 5. We'll win a pair of tickets to see Breaking Benjamin at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on May 3rd. 615-737-1025. Joe, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine under attack on the text line and your love for him, saying that got some people saying that he's gone. There's just no chance that he's coming back and that the NWI era in Nashville is over, which I know that you just won't stand for on the program here today.
Well, I mean, I'm sort of joking. I mean, I'm expecting it to be over.
Oh, come on.
You know, I mean, I would, well, I mean,
don't do this to us, Joe.
Yeah. Hey, look, man, all the respect to NWI, you know, he's a heck of a story. You know, you're talking about a guy who, his first camp, I mean, he couldn't catch a cold. And he turned into a quality receiver in the NFL. But yeah, I mean, I would say no tender. Again, you could potentially get him back, and would the Titans look to do that potentially? How much interest will he have out there? I don't know. Obviously, you know, there are limitations for NWI, but it seems like, you know, maybe the Titans are going to. I mean, let's see, if you have a room of five. You're definitely counting, obviously, Burks and Phillips, right? And yep. And I personally, and I don't lose it or anything here. Maybe you won't find this that surprising. I would certainly take Racy McMath over NWI on my team.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, you know, I mean, the speed is important. He does have speed. And he has speed downfield that can make a difference. I don't know if Racy McMath is going to be part of the equation next year or not. I mean, like the free agency situation, as we've discussed a lot, is not great. But I think certainly at least one drafted receiver would be in that group of five. So if you do count McMath and then that, you know, then you only have one spot left. Could that spot beat NWI? Potentially, but maybe they're going a different direction. I will say, you know, the idea of Adam Thielen does intrigue me a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
As a veteran, it's how much does he have left? He is getting up there, and I feel like for the most part, you know, they're doing a lot of things here, getting younger, which I think is always smart in the NFL. But of the sort of old, you know, middling receivers who are out there, I mean, Thielen has been a very good player.
Well, I think they're going to need to bring somebody in that is a veteran, right? I mean, you've got Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, and let's say NWI is gone and that Racy McMath is still around. Well, then all of a sudden, Racy McMath is the elder statesman in your wide receiver room. I don't know that that's a great idea. So I would like to see them go get somebody, not somebody expensive, not somebody that breaks the bank, and I'm really interested to see what Thielen ends up getting out there. But somebody of that mold to come in and be a veteran guy for Tannehill to rely on. Like, I still think that drafting a receiver or two in the draft would be smart, and I think that's what the Titans are going to do as they move forward. But you can't have Racy McMath being the oldest guy in the receiving room either. I think that'd be a problem.
No, that's a great point, and that's the thing. That's why I'm not ruling out NWI back on the team. I mean, come on. We know there are limitations, but we also know that, I mean, Mike Vrabel loves the guy and Rob Moore loves the guy, and he's a standard setter, an example guy for everybody else. So at this point, he is your elder statesman, and he's a guy who can go into any spot. I mean, he's like, this is what you need to do. Be like Nick and maximize yourself. And so that to me is why, even if you get this group to the point where he doesn't play a lot, I mean, that's fine. But he also, special teams guy. I'm not ruling it out. I think, look, if you're the Titans not tendering him, I think you also probably know, it's not like there's going to be people banging down the door to sign him, because of, as we discussed, the limitations. But I'm not ruling it out, because you're right. At this point, if he's gone and he signs somewhere else and you don't bring in a veteran, you are so young in that room.
I got a texter that says, if the Titans can get another offensive line player in free agency, who would that be? And then they could go wide receiver in the first round. If so, who would y'all like to get there? This is from a texter on the text line. That answer to me, Joe, really depends entirely on what they think Andre Dillard is. Like, do they think Andre Dillard is their starting left tackle? Because if so, I mean, you got him at left tackle. You could go Aaron Brewer at center if that's the route you wanted to go. Brunskill, you just signed, I think is probably going to be the right guard for the Titans next year. And then there's Petit Frere. So if that's how you feel about it, then you've got to find a left guard. And I think you can find a left guard, third, fourth round of the draft if you really wanted to coming up. Yes. So, to me, that answer really depends on how they view Dillard. If they are confident that Dillard is going to be the starting left tackle, then maybe you don't go left tackle 11 overall. Now, I would say, and I know they got to get a receiver, and if all things are equal and they feel like a left tackle at 11 overall and the receiver are rated close enough, then maybe you go receiver just based off need there. But I still, even if you feel like Dillard is your starting left tackle, I would not be opposed to them selecting a left tackle at 11 overall. You've just given yourself options now.
Exactly. Look, if there's a left tackle there and you believe that's a great player who's going to, because that's, 11 overall, you need to have an impact player, obviously. If you believe you got a great player who can be a left tackle for a long time, then I think you still go there. And the thing about receiver is, we've talked about this, obviously, it's not a top end. It's not a top heavy receiver group. It is, there's some depth at receiver in the draft. So yeah. Receiver still, you could get a good player with your, again, it's the 11th pick in the second round too. I mean, it's nice to be at 11 in every round. So I'm with you. Even if they right now have Dillard penciled in at left tackle, I mean, if Paris Johnson's there and he's just higher on their board than any of the receivers, then I think you go Paris Johnson.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I still think – I know that there are options now for the Titans, and you don't – it's not like you're looking at the draft saying you must go left tackle or else now if you're the Titans. But I do think if you feel like you can find a left tackle that can be your guy for the next 6, 7, 8, 10 years, whatever it is – like, those guys are hard to come by, as we've seen. And when teams get them, usually they hold on to them. So, I mean, I think you got to at least consider that if you're the Titans strongly. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on NFL free agency and the Titans coming up next, including some big moves made around the league via trade yesterday as well. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.